Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by...
Joined by is good. It's okay.
Joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent, Jason. It's a good day to be here with you to talk about Google Ads. Been working in my silo, you know? You know, silo, it's like you're by yourself. You don't really have a team. You know, you're just kind of you and you work. And then suddenly I have a bright, shining light. I open the door and there's Jason.
I'm here.
And I can make sure I'm not doing things wrong, make sure I'm thinking the right way,
Ease up on that impression share stuff, and
okay,
that'll help.
Yeah. No, that's
what we were talking about before the show.
That's still my go-to metric. That's okay, good. good. Glad. You're going to get all my clients. Yeah, I know what good means.
No, it's one, you know, it's an impression share thing, you know, Chris. Yeah. So, no, you're doing good. You're doing okay. You know, it's the hottest day of the year here. Think we're gonna hit 112 today.
Oh gosh, I don't know. We're not gonna go that high, but okay, yeah, it's a little warmer for you, I guess, maybe. But no, it's going good, Jason. I as happens once a year, I am alone at home in my massive property here that I have here in Texas. Alone, my wife went to see her sister for a week, as she does, takes the kids on a little trip. I don't, you know, as always, I don't know what to do with myself. Dinner will not be on the table when I get home. It's going to be tough.
Wow. What are you going to eat?
Jason, I don't know. Send help. I don't know.
Well, were they there last night?
Yes.
Okay. What'd she leave you with last night?
Yeah, she did some leftover fish, which...
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. I
love fish. I don't know about leftover.
Yeah,
fish.
Yeah, it's salmon, and you know, she was like, "Can we to you know, box this up for you so you can have it tomorrow?" And I'm like, sure."
Salmon. Something happens to salmon when you put it in the refrigerator. That happens to some people when they fall asleep. Like some people get up in the morning and you're just like, "Whoa,
yeah,
you know, what happened to you during the last 12 hours?" Salmon is the same thing. Like every time I pull it out of the fridge. It's, I don't know, just looks a whole lot different, but once you heat it up, it tastes good.
Yeah, but then there's the, you know, like heating up fish in the microwave, you know, there's that danger too, like, you know, overdoing it or it just starts, you know, it stinks, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be a rough week, Jason, but we'll see if I survive.
Well, I hope you do, because we have to do a podcast next week,
and yes.
I look forward to that, but today we'll be talking about a lot of people's favorite topic, quality score.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about three ways to improve quality score. And we'll also be opening it up with a controversial spin on quality score. So I'm looking forward to that. Before we get into it, Chris, just want to remind everyone, we have the PPC jobs page out there, paidsearchpodcast.com, if you're looking for a job out there. And then the PPC daily. Monday through Friday, we put out clips of the Paid Search Podcast on a podcast feed called PPC Daily. And basically, it's all of the Google Ads talk that we're going to be talking about for the next hour, but none of the talk about salmon.
Salmonless.
It's a salmonless podcast. So if you prefer that, that's where you can get that information. So Chris, why don't you tell us about Opteo, and then we will get into a deep dive here on quality score.
Yeah, I want to remind you guys where we are at with our podcast. We're at the point where we rely on you guys to listen to this show and support our sponsors because they're supporting us. You like the content here, and we want to tell you about our only sponsor for years now, Opteo. And there's a reason they're still our sponsor, because people are still discovering it. Believe it or not, there are many people out there that have not tried it, even though I hear about it constantly from listeners of the show. We get comments, we get emails. It really is a great tool. I want to tell you why. Opteo, we're talking about quality score today. Opteo is the kind of tool that you can use to improve your quality score. Now you say, now Chris, how's that going to happen? That's a silly statement. Well, the fact is that Opteo gives you recommendations based on data inside of your Google Ads. Okay, this tool is made specifically for Google Ads, and it will give you suggestions and recommendations that will improve your quality score. Little things like moving keywords, giving an entire improvement to your ad score based on, there's just too many factors to discuss. There's so many things, the keywords, the ad copy, the landing page, the click-through rate. It brings those things to your attention and you can react to that data. It's presented in a wonderful, easy-to-read format that's totally understandable. And if you agree with that, you hit apply and that recommendation is done to your account instantly. Wonderful tool. Nothing quite like it out there. You can try it for 8 weeks, for 2 months for free at opteo.com. That's opteo.com/PSP for an 8 week, 2 month free trial you'll only get at that URL.
Okay, Chris. So you're stumbling around the house. You're all alone. You're eating leftover salmon. You don't know what's coming for dinner tonight, but you're also doing some work, and apparently you were looking up some things about quality score, and you stumbled on a little bit of a gem of an article with some very interesting information. So we'll have a link to this in the description, but Chris, why don't you go ahead and give us the title of this article on Google Ads help, and then we'll kick it off talking about this most interesting thing we saw in it.
Yeah. So what the entire show is going to be based on is one article that reveals quite a bit about quality score, and I wanted to bring it to the show here because quality score is absolutely a very mysterious, very hard to grasp type of thing because there's so many factors surrounding quality score. And right off the bat, when I was reading this, it caught me by surprise because, as Jason said, the first thing that it states in this article is, and I'm just going to quote, Jason, I think the best way is just quote it. I'm going to say, "You can think of quality score as a general indicator of which areas to focus on to improve ad quality, comma," and here's the part that just kind of hit me in the gut. So you're thinking about it as a way to improve areas rather than a score to be optimized. If you don't understand the shock in that, it's essentially saying this is a gauge to tell you which areas are green, yellow, and red. But you shouldn't be focusing on constantly optimizing and trying to get nines and tens, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. You should not be trying to optimize constantly to improve and get further and further in quality score. It's just an area of improvement consistently in certain areas rather than optimization. That was shocking to me, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. So the article is 5 ways to use quality score to improve your performance. So it's not like you shouldn't focus on quality score, but at the same time, it says these are areas to focus on rather than a score to be optimized. Right. So should you optimize for quality score or should you just do the things that lead to a good quality score? I think that's maybe what you should do. But just to give ourselves some credit here, Chris, how often do we hear new clients and fans of the show ask us about, like, you know, what should my quality score be? Can you get me to nines and tens? And then we give honest answers that say, probably not. And by the way, we won't even look at it.
Yeah.
because it's just not something that factors into the way we approach Google Ads, because by default, we're doing everything that we can do that's under our control to get good quality score, because that's the stuff you do to run a campaign the right way. And there's other factors of quality score that we think are outside of our control. And if they're outside of our control, then they're outside of our control. So I guess to answer the question, how often you should optimize for quality score, or how do you optimize for quality score? My answer is I try to run effective Google Ads campaigns.
There you go.
And those lead to the best quality scores possible on all the different keywords. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, Jason, I live in Texas, and this is a place of big trucks.
You don't mention it, really.
Big, loud trucks. And one time I went on in a ride with a friend that had just a massive truck. I mean, you had to like grab the handles and like pull yourself in. I mean, it was massive. And I made a stupid comment by asking about what his gas mileage was. You know, and he's like, did you see my truck? You know, like, I don't care what my gas mileage is. This is, it's doing what I want it to do. And that's the analogy that I want to say with Google Ads. It's like, your vehicle is going to get the gas mileage that it's going to get, right? Your Google Ads account is going to get the quality score that it's going to get. You just keep putting fuel. And as long as you're happy with what the engine, what the system's doing, it's going to get what it's going to get. A van and a little Tesla over here are going to get different mileage because they're different vehicles. They're different domains. They're different things. They're targeting different things. But you get what you get. And I feel like people that are obsessed with quality score, it's like they're driving some massive hot rod vehicle and they're concerned because they're not getting the same gas mileage as some little eco vehicle in the lane next to them. You know, that's not you.
Yeah. Yeah. My vehicle shows me how many miles per gallon I'm running at each time I'm driving, like every second I'm driving. Yeah. So like if I hit the acceleration, I'm burning more fuel. If I'm rolling and I'm not hitting the accelerator, I'm getting the most possible miles per gallon. And then if I'm just sitting there, I'm getting the least miles per gallon because the car's on and you're not moving anywhere. So for me to get the best mileage out of my car that I can, I just have to drive reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, don't accelerate on the downhill when there's no reason to accelerate when you're already going the speed limit. Don't leave the car on outside for like an hour and just burn all that fuel if you aren't going anywhere for an hour. So everything I do by default when I drive is just trying to get the best mileage that's possible while still driving a vehicle and still burning fuel. And I think what happens when people focus on that quality score column, I'd say almost at all, really, if they're doing everything right in their account. Mm. Otherwise, if they're still focused on it and making changes into their account, that's where it's kind of like, instead of focusing on driving, I'd be focusing on getting the most miles of fuel. And I'd be like, you know, playing games with my accelerator. Mm-hmm. And if I run into the house to grab one drink, that's going to take 10 seconds turning the car off because I don't want to lose 10 seconds. It's just, it takes your eye off the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
You make bad decisions.
Bad decisions just because you're focused on that micro little number, which it's a great analogy there.
Which before this, I mean, you could always make a case that that's the right thing to do because quality score is such a driver of performance in ad rank.
Yeah.
But now we see it here in black and white on the Google Help Doc. It's not something that, it's not a score to be optimized. It's not. So you know what? Just take it away. We don't need that column anymore.
Come on. I don't know about that.
I do good in the meeting. Just take it away. take it from them.
They'd love you. They'd love you. They say, Jason's just taking things out. That's great. Well, let me say.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Let's jump into the first couple things. But before we do, I want to say there are three areas that we're going to talk about. And they're all, for now, as of today, still available. They haven't listened to Jason yet, but they are going to be referencing three columns that you can see at your keyword level. They're going to reference expected click-through rate. They're going to reference ad relevance and landing page experience. You can find those columns in the quality score section of your keyword metrics at the keyword screen of Google Ads. And that's what we're going to talk about, okay? So we're going to talk about some of the information that you get at that level and what that means and how to interpret it and how to react to it. And number one we're going to start with is what they mentioned in the article. Number one, make ads more relevant to keywords.
Yeah, and Chris, I mean, just to put everyone at ease with quality score, it seems like they're actually giving us more and adding columns because I just remembered all the historical performance quality score columns and all that. So, but just to jog my memory here, Chris, because I really don't look at quality score, expected click-through rate, ad relevance, landing page experience, those are the three factors of quality score that we at least can see, right?
Yes. Those are the three things that, as far as what they tell us, that's what makes up that number, some number out of 10. And those three factors can either be below average, average, or above average.
I think because we know like quality score, it's not just like a 9 out of 10. It's like my memory serves, it's like a 9.00101000, bunch of digits. So there's different levels of average. There's different levels levels of below average, but you can't see them.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. But when it comes to making your ads more relevant to your keywords, ad relevance shows you how relevant your ads are to the keywords. So there's three things you can try, Chris, if you have average or below average. We'll run through them and then we'll take them one by one. So match the language of your ad text more directly to the search term. That's interesting. They say search term instead of keyword there. Look for ad groups with many different keywords that can't easily be addressed by the same ad, and then split those into multiple ad groups that better match user search. And then try grouping your keywords into themes. To increase relevance, the themes can be based on your product, services, etc. So, Chris, let's take that one by one. Match the language of your ad text more directly to the user search term. If you're advertising moving a company in Dallas, if that's a search, make it clear in the ad that you're a moving company in Dallas. Is that the right way to read that?
Yeah. I mean, I like the way that they specifically word this. They say match the language of your ad text to the user search term, but then on the second one they go even further and say based on the user's intent or their user's interest, you know, what they're actually looking for, you know. And what we have to talk about here is the level of intent, the meaning behind the search. A search term is not binary. It's not either, you know, matching or not matching. There's a lot of ways that you can interpret 15 different searches and they can mean the same thing. So that doesn't mean that you need to put the exact keyword into your ad text. You need to match the intent of the person. So, I mean, just a moment ago, I was before the show, Jason, I was talking about, lawyers and stuff like that. And if you're doing a campaign for lawyers and you have someone who's doing a search around bankruptcy, you know, like lawyer bankruptcy, something like that. And one intent would be someone just searching Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Okay. That is a certain intent. That's a search. But if you want to match the intent of the person's search to your ad copy, you would go after something closer to hire a lawyer to file Chapter 7 bankruptcy, you know, something like that. That is a different type of intent. I think that's what they're going for here, is not just matching the word, but matching the intent of the user. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. If you have a word like Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the person has not put if you have a search term like that, the person has not put the word lawyer or attorney or law firm in the search term.
Right.
So they might be looking for an attorney. They might not. Odds are they're probably more looking for information, because if they were looking for an attorney, they'd include that in the search. So maybe better ad copy for that search term to better match the user's searches would be copy about, like, learn about this bad copy, but just learn about Chapter 7 bankruptcy,
right.
Chapter 7 bankruptcy, key topics you have to understand. And then they come to the site, and then for the people that want a lawyer, they'll contact you, versus a search bankruptcy attorney. They're telling you they want an attorney. So the ad copy can be all about how your attorney. Now, Chris, what we're doing here is we're taking this one level further than what it says. All it says is multiple ad groups that better match the user's searches, ad text directly to the user search term. So I think one mistake I think people make is, like, this is my opinion. You make a responsive ad. There's times where copy's not going to make sense. Like movers near you, or excuse me, movers near me. That search term is one of the biggest search terms out there. And if you don't include, quote, movers near me in your ad copy, when you make the responsive ad, it's going to say, hey, keep using more keywords in your ad. That helps you get quality score. Please put in movers near me. But having the word movers near me, that term in an ad, it doesn't make sense. So I'm elevated to the point where I'm like, I'm going to make an ad with that hit against it, where it says, hey, you should be using more keywords, if some of those keywords don't make sense. And I'm going to just get to the user's intent and try to match their intent and hope that high click-through rate, high time on site, all the other relevancy signals that Google is able to see, low bounces back to Google, all relevancy signals that Google is able to see will overcome that one little thing that says you have to use the keyword, or you should use the keyword in the the search term in the ad copy if the search term or keyword doesn't make sense. I think sometimes people just use copy like a robot that doesn't make sense because the system tells you to use keywords. I'm taking it to the next level. I don't know if that's right or wrong. Seems to be working well, but that's the way I'm thinking about things. And one final thing here, Chris, is once again, a focus on grouping your keywords into themes to increase relevance. And this is a theme we're kind of seeing here across our episodes as we do our research. Search ad groups, I think, have become more like display ad groups for keywords in the past, where they look at all the keywords in your ad group and they try to get to the intent of what you're trying to advertise for, and then we'll show you on a different set of searches than another advertiser targeting those same keywords, but with other keywords mixed in the ad group. Bold claim, but how can you not agree that something's going on when they're telling us so often to focus on the theme of your ad group? Do you think that's fair to focus on here in 2022?
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, it's a different discussion whether I'm pleased with that. But yes, I think that's the point.
I'm more pleased with that than skagging.
That's true.
I actually feel like I have a dance partner now with this artificial intelligence, this machine learning, whatever the system is. I feel like I have something I can work with. Back in the past, it was like, no, we're going to reward skags because all we can tell is keyword matches ad group, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, no, we'll look at all the different. So, for example, Chris, I don't want to give that example because it's so confusing. But like, for example, you can have super spot on keywords in your ad group, I think. But now you can mix in some keywords that maybe not are the most spot on, but Google might show you to spot on people.
Right.
If they understand your intent. Again, bold claim, but I think something like that could be happening. Yeah. You have a dance partner.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, if you know anything about display campaigns, you know that Google looks at the theme of all of the keywords in an ad group. And that's, they have told us explicitly in these help docs that we read and reference on this show, that is absolutely something they look at. So yeah, I mean, so that's what it's saying here. It's saying, you know, they're not telling you to make ads more relevant to keywords because that's what works better. They're telling you because that's what their system rewards. You have to consider they're giving you instructions based on how they've built it, not because this is, you know, this is somehow the best way to do it. No, this is how they designed it. So this is a design conversation about how the creators intended it to work rather than a way to beat the system. That's why, you know, these help docs are really the basis of, you know, how you make decisions and the conclusions that you come to whenever you talk about strategy and theory in Google Ads.
Yeah, we're not playing in my sandbox. We're not playing in your sandbox. We're playing in Google sandbox, and the consistency of the sand changes constantly over time, and you have to adjust to it.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like a cat might have gotten in there when you're playing with it and, well, you know, playing in the sand and left you something in the sand that you didn't really want.
Well, you have to consider that the cat is always leaving something in the sand. Okay. They're always making updates. They're always making changes. They're always constantly trying things out. To such a large extent, I think we don't even realize how often, like, our performance is being experimented with, or our performance is running up against experiments or running on X percent of campaigns. I think that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And my point is sometimes they roll out this stuff. Maybe it's not ready for prime time. They get more data, they adjust, and then all of a sudden, themed ad groups start to get rewarded, and it makes sense. So constant change is a theme there, Chris. But overall, how to make your ads more relevant to the keywords, I would say, yes, a little bit, still focus on using search term words, search term phrases in the ad copy when possible, when it really makes sense, and focus on that, yes. But also really think about the way you're crafting your ad groups and think about if they make sense to a computer that's maybe not as smart as a human, maybe smarter, we don't even know. But think about the computer, the AI, looking at your ad group and trying to determine what the theme, who you're trying to get in front of, where they are in the funnel, as the great Chris Schaefer likes to say. So, Chris, let's talk about improving your click-through rate. So what are some ways they suggest to improve your click-through rate, the second factor of quality score, expected click-through rate?
Yeah, so number two, click-through rate. And expected click-through rate is one of the scores that they give us, below average, average, and above average. Okay, so expected click-through rate indicates how likely people are to click your ad. Okay, so take a note here. Expected click-through rate takes into future account. It is not is not present tense. It's not past tense. Click-through rate is past tense. Expected click-through rate takes into past, present, and future. Okay, it's a really interesting distinction here. So when they talk about expected click-through rate, there's other things to consider rather than what your click-through rate is now. So when they talk about expected click-through rate, these are the things that they say to try and get your score up to average or above average. Edit your ad text to make your offer more compelling to your target audience. Okay, that's a tough one. A lot of people could interpret that in a lot of different ways, but we'll move on. Ensure the details of your ad match the intent of your keywords. Okay. Highlight a unique benefit of your product or service, such as free shipping. All right. I like the unique benefit. Experiment with different call to action messages that connect closely with your landing page. So there we go. We've already made a jump into number three, which we'll be getting into. It's already connecting. We've connected the first one, which was the relevance to keywords and search terms, right? So the ad copy has to be relevant to the keywords and search terms. Now they've moved from number two, they moved into the ad copy being relevant to the landing page. So you can see all this is so connected. And then the last two, creating compelling call to action. You like get a quote, try, buy, sign up, find, browse, order, things like that. And then the last one, it feels like didn't really belong here, but it says be specific in your ad text. I feel like they already told us that in all the other ones, but anyway, that's the last point. Jason, your reaction?
Well, expected click-through rate, it's one of those controversial things. We've talked a lot about it a lot in the past on past episodes, possibly in the first 100 where we have those available for sale, paid search podcast archive. You can go to the website. We've talked about it a lot on those episodes. So we think it at least used to take into account the expected click-through rate of not only keywords in your account, but the way those keywords have performed for every account. We don't see that language anymore in the documentation, so it's really hard to say if that's still going on or even if I'm recalling that correctly. But it is a tough thing. All this means to me, Chris, is make good ads. I don't know really. There's not too many ways to say it. I think keeping it simple is the right thing to do here. Make good ads that people want to click and give them what they want. I have a little formula I like to do with that, which is basically catch people's attention and then offer them something so compelling that they have to click.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's got to be something real, but they're not going to click. They're not going to read your ad unless you catch their attention. And then obviously, you want them to click, so you got to offer them something no one else is. And that's kind of the fun of Google Ads these days, in my opinion, is using the responsive ads and all that ad copy space you have to come up with something attention grabbing and then also super compelling.
Jason, would you say that you have had experience seeing specific types of keywords having very poor expected click-through rate based entirely on the keyword? So you'll have one keyword in an ad group that shares the same ad copy as another keyword, and then one will have a below average and one will have an above average, but they share the same ad copy. So have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, and I have. And that's why this language from the doc about how much expected click-through rate is influenced by ad copy is surprising to me. Mm-hmm. Because when I think about expected click-through rate, I think about the keyword.
Yes.
And I think about the expected click-through rate on that keyword, again, not only for your account, but for every account in general. And how clickable it is a keyword or how likely people want to see ads on that search. So just to give an example, if someone did the search definition of pasta, you're probably not going to see an ad on that search, or say pasta in Spanish, that search, you're probably not going to see an ad on that search.
Right.
Or how many inches in a foot, because those are not searches that lend themselves to people needing to connect with a business. Some searches in a computer's eyes totally need to connect with a business, like moving companies in Dallas or dentist open on Saturdays. But there's all this like border gray searches where the computer's kind of confused and it's a gradient. And some people are looking for a business. Some people are just looking for information. And I think those are maybe the ones that get less expected click-through rate, therefore less quality scores. Therefore, if you spend your time trying to optimize for something that's out of your control, thank you, because we're dominating your performance.
Yeah. Thanks for the leads. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, so because I wanted to bring this around before we conclude on number two, I wanted to bring it around to the fact that it may not be your ad copy.
Yeah.
Right? It may not be your ad copy.
I think, but there's nothing you're looking at or nothing I'm looking at that backs that up.
Yeah, it doesn't say that in here, but I know that I see, if I, you know, to say, like, if you just have the keyword lights and all of your ad copy is about LED outdoor lighting for homes and, you know, tree lighting and all kinds of stuff about, you know, it's a specific kind of light that you're selling, but you have the word lights. And then on the next keyword, you have LED outdoor lights.
You're going to have online,
something like that, something very specific. You're going to have expected CTR on the first one. The word lights is going to be below average. And then
probably, yeah.
And then the other two are going to, the next one's going to be.
But that's not to say someone with a huge budget can't be running on broad match lights with a super low bid and get a cost per conversion that they like.
Yeah. So all of that to say is that I think it's odd that that's left out, because anyone who's in Google Ads knows that you can see it. It is not like every ad group has the same expected CTR on all of the keywords, because that is not the case. It is a keyword by keyword definition. So it has expected CTR is also the way that keyword is interpreted. And I think you said it best, Jason, some searches do not need to connect with a business.
Since we were talking about ad copy with expected click-through rate, I mean, to be fair, Chris, we're focused on keywords, you know, but at the same time, this document is focused on ad copy when it comes to expected click-through rate. So for us to make the claim it's about keywords, like, yeah, I'm going to stand by that based on what we had seen in the past and in our experiences over the years. But at the same time, I think you also have to say it's about ad copy as well, because we're seeing that. And so one of the things people might ask, and this is kind of a good thing to just kind of section off here, because I want to have a little conversation on it. Can two specific ad copy hurt your click-through rate and your quality score? So what I'm talking about, Chris, is you get in those situations where clients are like, well, we only work with high-income people, so let them know that this type of service starts at $5,000, because we don't want people who don't want a high-end service clicking on our ads. Or make it clear to people that we only have crafting your ad copy to turn away clicks, crafting your ad copy to lower your click-through rate, but then to therefore improve your conversion rate because you get better traffic. Is it worth doing that, or are you hurting yourself too much because you're going to hurt your quality score with the click-through rate? So first, before we get to what they say, Chris, have you had that conversation with clients where either they propose it or you propose it, where it's like, we need to show up on the word moving companies in Dallas, but we only do white glove high income moves. So we don't want, we can't target just white glove moving because hardly anybody searches that. We have to target movers near me. Yes, we can layer on the income, but we want people to know what they're getting before they click on our ad. And we only want those people who are interested in moves that start at $5,000. Do you or your clients have that conversation where you're like, okay, we'll communicate that in the ad copy and try to not get clicks from people that aren't a good fit for us? Do you ever pursue that strategy?
Yeah. Absolutely. The pre-qualification of the click.
Pre-qualification. Yep.
Yeah. I don't really like it as much as I used to, because there's so much interconnectivity of Google Ads now and the responsive ads. I can't control responsive. I have to get into pinning and stuff like that, you know? So
I pinned today.
Yeah.
It felt kind of good.
Oh yeah.
Someone needed to advertise a certain offer for a time period. And I straight up pinned.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
Yeah.
I was back in the driver's seat, baby. Back control. In control.
Got the driver's wheel or whatever.
Cut to like a week later where we don't even get impressions.
Yeah.
Because we're not playing with the
system. Just watch everything drop off. Oh, you like control.
So you don't do it that much more.
No.
That
much lately, I mean, not that often. No. Because,
okay.
Because everything's so loose now.
Loosey goosey. Okay. So what they say here is there may be times when a more specific ad leads to lower click-through rates, but higher conversion rates. And they say, this is right under the be specific with your ad text. There may be times when more specific ad leads to lower click-through rates, but higher conversion rates. Look for the balance that leads to the best possible performance for your goals. So once again, Google with the documentation is essentially just saying, run a good campaign, try to achieve success for your business. And then I'm going to add on, use our platform to the best extent you can, and it'll be a win-win-win for everybody. You know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Welcome back. I want to remind you about our sponsor, Optio.com/PSP. You can take advantage of the most generous offer you're going to see out there for the only software that we think exists out there in the universe for Google Ads managers. It's Optio. Very affordable. And for 2 months, you can try it for free. Wonderful tool. It's built for those of you that would be interested in listening to a PPC show about Google Ads. If you're that focused on Google Ads, this is the tool for you. It is built for Google Ads. It is by Google Ads people. It's a great tool. You're going to like it. Try it for 8 weeks for free, or 2 months, however you want to interpret that. And you'll thank us later.
Okay, Chris. So the third aspect of quality score here is landing page experience. Why don't you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So this is probably one of the most difficult ones, because there's a million different interpretations of landing page experience. But these are the best practices that Google gives us. So we have to go with that. You know, sometimes you have to throw out what you think. And if you want to optimize and get the best landing page experience, then you need to go with what Google says about what landing page experience needs to look like. So here's what they say. Number one, give people what they're looking for. If they're looking for flannel shirts, send them to a page about flannel shirts. Okay, so quick interpretation, that may not be your homepage. Okay, you may have optimized your homepage with the best possible chance for someone to convert. It has that beautiful hero banner and all that kind of stuff. It might be an interior page. You might need to create a secondary page that's an interior page that has some of that stuff added to it. Okay. Number two, keep messaging consistent from ad to landing page. So if you say something in your ad copy, make sure that that same something is mentioned there. Don't change the tone. You know, don't say flannel shirts and drop them onto a cargo short page. You know, I mean, it's completely congruent from click to landing. And then try using conversion rate as a proxy for good landing page experience. That's an obvious one. If they convert a lot, then you would know that people are having a good experience on that page. That's a good indicator of what Google would like to see as well. Make your website mobile friendly. Seems like a absolute necessity nowadays. And then improve loading speed. And this is something that I think people that don't really want to invest a lot in their website probably have the biggest issue, because they go with free tools. They go with, you know, a lot of things that are just kind of click it and it's built kind of stuff, auto created types of stuff that may not be the best loading, you know, have a lot of, you know, uncompressed images and things like that. So if you have a less than expensive kind of page, you might really need to focus on this, because it takes a web developer, a designer, to really know where to cut those corners to be, you know, you don't have to have a 600 kilobyte image. You know, you could compress that down to a 50 kilobyte image and it makes it load faster. Lots of little things like that. And Google's telling you they care about that.
Yeah, I would go for two rules. I would go for three rules. I would go for deliver on what you promise in the ad copy.
Okay. Yeah.
So flannel, whatever you were talking about, delivers to a page that highlights flannel, whatever. Number two, make sure you have a good enough website and a good enough offer that the amount of people that go back to Google and then keep searching is as low as possible. Because I think that's probably the worst thing that you can show Google in terms of performance. This is all theory and just thinking about things and kind of guesstimating here, but I think that's a really bad sign in Google's eyes. When someone goes to your site after clicking on an ad, the time it takes for them to get back to Google to continue their search and click to other sites, if that's a very small amount of time, I think that's a sign that you're not delivering what Google said you would deliver by giving you that real estate to show your ad there and kind of ride the back of Google's promise of always delivering quality results. So if you're messing that up, you're really kind of messing up the system here. And I don't think they like that. So make sure your offer and site is good enough to draw people in and keep them on your site to the best extent you can. And then number three, I didn't know it was a quality score factor. Now I'm seeing it is, but getting conversions. One of the biggest mistakes people make, Chris, is on mobile. They want phone calls, but they keep that phone number below the fold. And people have to scroll down to see the phone number to click to call on the website, versus someone who's doing it right would have that phone number high above the fold right there on the landing page screen on mobile. And that can generate a lot of conversions. So not only is it good for your business to get a lot of conversions when you're kind of thinking through those things, but it sounds like it's also good for quality score because Google likes seeing those conversions.
I'm going to push back on that because I didn't read the whole quote.
Get more conversions. Chris Schaefer's going to push back.
And I'm going to push back.
Podcast,
I'm going to push back.
Love
on
doing
the
Why? Get more impression share. Lost in ad rank. Get that number lower. Is that what I should be going for?
I'm
going
to push back because it says conversion rate doesn't impact your landing page status, but it can make a good way for you to measure and optimize. So it says right there that conversions do not impact your landing page status. So it was you're taking a step too far. What they're saying is,
no, you're right.
If conversion rate is good on your page, that's also an indicator that Google likes what you're doing, not because the conversion rate is good, but because people are also going to like the same thing that Google likes.
I like that we're closing on this because it kind of goes back to the original point, which is like you're basically telling me something's showing that I'm doing things right for quality score, but it doesn't impact quality score.
Right.
If you have a high conversion rate, it's a sign that you're doing things right, and doing things right gets you a high quality score. But this one specific thing of doing things right, getting a high conversion rate, doesn't impact quality score. So it's kind of like, you know, the chicken or the hen thing.
Again, we're gonna do that again
every week.
Last time it was every
week we're gonna talk about
it. It wasn't chicken and the hen last time. Chicken and the hen. Wait, no, it's chicken and the egg. What the frick? No. Gosh, ruin that thing every.
Chris, I don't know if it's because your wife's out of town, but you're coming off a little too sly, a little too cool right now.
Oh, okay.
Body fat's a little too low. Hair's a little too long. Skin's a little too tan.
It is a long
shirt. Yeah. Shirt's a little too loose. I don't know what you're looking freaking cool today, dude. You know,
hey,
you know what I'm wearing? I'm wearing a golf shirt. Uh-huh. I'm wearing cargo shorts. Uh-huh. I'm wearing New Balance sneakers with the white socks pulled up to half the calf.
My
wife said, "You're in ultimate dad mode today."
Yeah.
And I said, "Not quite." And then I clipped my cell phone to my belt.
There we go.
And that's what I'm doing. No. But Chris, you are looking, Jason, like you're about to sell me something.
I got you beat.
Do you have suspenders on?
Suspenders under my shirt. How about that? I got your white socks and I raise you suspenders.
All right. Well, where can people go if they want to learn what that's about and have that explained to them?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
You can go to chrisschaefer.com. And the link will be in the description, and you can reach out to me. We can chat. I have a free 15-minute call that you can book if you just want to reach out and ask some questions and see if I might be able to help. If you're convinced and you just want to pay and get me for a full hour of your time, you can go to chrisschaefer.com and do that as well. I'm offering services for full-time management as well as the best PPC consulting in the business.
And then, do you have a price yet for suspender pops or snaps? Suspender snaps. And a lot of people watch on YouTube, but a lot more people listen. Can you just give us a snap so they know we're not playing games?
No.
Give me one.
Mm-mm.
Oh, nothing.
I shouldn't have showed you. I knew I shouldn't have showed you. No. They're under my shirt. There's no way I can possibly pop it. It won't work. Jason, where can they go?
Oh, we'd all love to watch you try. I'm at RothmanPPC.com doing Google Ads consulting and management, taking it very seriously, trying to help small businesses out there. And look forward to you contacting me. So that's where you can find us both on our respective sites. And we also have the paidsearchpodcast.com. Write in your questions and check out all we have to offer there. And we will be back next week with episode 321 of the Paid Search Podcast.